I'm just going to pray again quick to start our study, and then we'll dig in. So, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for these women here. Thank you for this study on our identity and what it means to be in you. I pray that your word would speak this morning, God, to each heart here. We know your word is living and active, and it will meet everyone where they're at. And so we offer this time up to you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. So we've been going through our study on identity in Christ, and we started out learning about what it means to be hidden in Christ, to be redeemed, and that's the starting point of being hidden in Christ. And then we talked about that we are loved in Christ, and so we are to reflect that agape love to others. And then last month, we talked about the question, am I known? Am I known? And kind of got to the bottom line of our identity, of that our identity is reflecting the image of God, because we've been made in that image. And if you're hidden in Christ, if you've trusted him as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit in you is continually making you more like that image. And just love that imagery there. So today we're going to shift just slightly from who we are to what we have in Christ. And you know, this whole topic of like identity and what we have in Christ and who we are, it's so huge. When I kind of started compiling things last spring and summer, it was so hard to narrow it down. And I was reminded of that when Tara sent me a document a couple weeks ago. And it's just a list of dozens of things that Scripture, in fact, I'm going to put that on the M&M's board later today, because it's just dozens of things that Scripture says of who we are and what we have because of who we are in Christ. So this, what we've been going through this year, is not at all exhaustive. And sometimes I feel like I'm feeding you with a fire hose, like a lot of information, but it's just because the word is so rich, and it has so much for us to know about God, and then therefore about ourselves. So we're going to talk about what we have in Christ over this month and next month. This month we're going to talk about that we have peace and hope in Christ. Next month, we're going to touch on joy in Christ, but they kind of all intertwine. They're distinct, but they intertwine. And I'm going to read Romans 15:13, and I think it's the first verse in your booklet, because it really shows how they all kind of interact together. It says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And just real quickly, I want to just point out a few things about this verse. The context of Romans 15 is all about hope in Christ, both for the Jews, and then Paul's explaining that now the Gentiles, the non-Jews, now can have hope in Christ and be brought into the family of God. And so when it says that our joy and peace in believing, that's tied to believing in Christ. So joy and peace come by believing in Christ. And then just a second brief thought on this verse is that our hope, the last point there in that verse, that you may abound in hope, hope is dependent on being filled with joy and peace. So while they're distinct, it's kind of this can't have one without the other type of thing. If we don't have peace, we're not going to have hope. If we don't have hope, we'll not have joy. They're all intertwined. And then just the last thought there is that, and we're going to bounce around and dig in a little deeper, but the last thought on that verse is that joy and peace are a gift from God. When it says, may he fill you, it's all by grace. There's a point in which our heart makes the decision to believe and trust, but he's the one that gives us those gifts. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. He gives us hope. So that's a little bit of the theme verse for this morning, but I want to just throw a couple of questions out to you guys. There's no right or wrong answer. I'm just curious. When we think about the words peace and hope, those concepts, I'm not even looking for like a super studious answer. Just thinking about like our world, our culture, books you've read, things you see on Facebook, Pinterest, your own thoughts. Like, what thoughts come to mind when you think peace or hope? Just kind of throw them out. You have peace because you have eternal life. Yep, for sure. I always think of chaos and then like
Like, I'm not saying that it's easy, but just being okay that God's got this.
Yeah.
Even though your world may be spinning around you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, for sure. And we're gonna talk about that a little bit.
Forgive him, so I feel better. Just really I feel at peace from God because I forgave him, so he makes me feel better.
Yeah, so peace comes to you as you forgive. Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. That you experience rest if you're experiencing peace. Yeah. Absence of conflict. Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that. We're going to flesh that out a little bit. How about, like, maybe even wrong? If you think of, like, you've given me right answers. I'm curious, you know, what do you hear in our culture? I don't want to peg, you know, one thing or one whatever area, but what is a common place to find peace? If you don't have Christ, what do people want us to think? Or what does the world, what's the message? And okay, so elaborate on that a little bit. Self-esteem, Linda said.
Taking time for yourself, working on yourself to make yourself feel good. And,
yeah.
That'll make you feel, you know, that ain't mommy is what God has given me. You know, and that's great.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Yeah, to a detriment, it can be too much focus on myself at the expense of others. Right. Yep. Right. Yep. We're going to get into all of that. That's good. Just for time's sake, unless anyone else had a thought, because we're going to come back to that a little bit. Things just call them out that threaten your peace and hope. Like in a day or in a week, what, even if you know the right answer of what you think you should be feeling, what kind of sends up that red flag for you that kind of rattles you a little bit? Lack of sleep.
Irritating kids.
Yep. Unexpected plans. Yep.
Your husband not understanding how hard pregnancy really is on you.
Yeah, hypothetically, right? Yes. So not being understood and feeling a little bit alone in that, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Legitimate things that would rattle us. So, peace is kind of thrown, we're going to start out talking about peace here, and it's kind of thrown around, you know, in a lot of different ways. Like, every beauty contestant, like, wishes for peace on earth. Isn't that, like, the canned response? At least of the 90s it was. Do they even still have those? I don't know. You know, kind of the fluffy, like, believe in yourself and you'll have peace, that kind of idea that peace is found in yourself. Everyone wants peace, world peace. The Bible talks about, you know, a false peace, that those will say peace, peace when there is no peace. So we're going to kind of talk about the differences there, but the Bible actually addresses peace in three different ways. And I was putting kind of all these thoughts together, and then I don't know if any of you were reading the Piper devotional, the indescribable, what is it? The joy of indestructible, dawn of indestructible joy. Thank you. The last section was all about peace because he came to bring peace on earth. And anyway, it just really tied in nicely. And so the Bible clearly talks about peace with God, peace within ourselves that comes from God, and peace with others. And I think that those all, again, intertwine, but we're going to kind of talk about how they're distinct in themselves first. So peace with God actually goes back to our month on redemption. Peace comes through redemption because we've been reconciled with God. If you guys remember, you know, you think about what sin does, and by nature, it makes us enemies of God, like an enemy of God. You know, when countries go to war, they are fighting because they have opposing ideals, ideas, ways of doing things. And I'm not simplifying it. It's very complicated, but they are opposed in every way. They're at war. They're enemies. So the Bible tells us that the sin in our hearts is opposed to God. And that means God is opposed to the sin in our heart and as opposed to the sin in all of humankind. But as we have been talking about all along the way, in his gracious love, he sent Jesus to pay that price of his anger against sin. He poured it out on Christ for you and for me. And that reconciled us back to him. Reconciling, you know, when you take two parts that are opposed and bring them back together. And Christ's work on the cross was the only thing that was able to do that. This is the gospel. That's simply put. So having peace with God only comes through his son, Jesus. And we've talked a lot about how when we follow the arrow to Christ and say, yes, I'm going to look to what you did on the cross. I'm going to turn away from myself, trusting myself, turn away from my sin. And I'm going to look to you and trust that what you did paid for my redemption, that I can be a child of God. And that being redeemed and reconciled to God is, the Bible also talks about it being, you're now hidden in Christ. Ephesians 2, 12 through 14 says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. I love that. He himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And that's talking a little bit, too, about Jews and Gentiles could now worship together, so there was no longer that dividing wall between them. The other verse that speaks to this is Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith in this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So you're kind of seeing how, man, peace and hope, they are so intertwined. And this text just makes it clear that the peace with God is by justification. Justification is when we're declared righteous. We're declared good, declared holy. And that's what Christ's work on the cross did. And when we place our trust in Christ, we are declared justified. Romans 5, 1 and 2 also talks about us being given access to God. And this concept, I know I take for granted, just it's mind-blowing if you stop and think about the reality that we have direct access with God because of Jesus. Like, the Israelites had to go through the high priest. We no longer have to go through high priest. We have access with God because of Christ. We can communicate directly with him, and we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, of his appearing. There's a Beth Moore Living Beyond Yourself study on the fruit of the Spirit. It's actually very good, just very exhaustive on the fruit of the Spirit. But she says we won't have the peace of God unless we have peace with God. You won't have an inner peace unless you have first come to a point of saying, yes, you have redeemed me. I turn to you for my salvation. So that brings us to peace within. Peace within ourselves. Peace within ourselves comes through submission. Comes as we submit to the Lord. As we submit to his sovereignty, then we will have rest for our souls. And let me explain that a little bit. When we see more of who God is, it can only heighten our peace and rest. When I get too big, when I see myself as too big, or when other people become too big in my mind, I get anxious, I get worried, I get self-conscious. But when I stop and see and study what Scripture says about God, how he's sovereign, he's almighty, he's He holds the universe in his hand. He knows my heart. He knows the hairs on our heads. And yet he's all loving. He's all caring. When I fix my eyes on that, then he brings me peace because I'm resting in him. Matthew, the next couple of verses kind of help me remember that. And in your booklet, I think there's Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." Who labors and feels heavy laden this morning from many different places? He says, "Come and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." He's using some imagery here of like plowing a field. Some of you may be more familiar with this imagery than, you know, we don't really use yokes in the same way anymore. But this is idea of yoking two animals together to plow the field manually. Well, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you." So we're not doing this alone. We're coming to him, taking his yoke upon us. And he says, "For I am gentle. You will learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When I become too big and I am trying to manage it all and I'm trying to do it all and I'm trying to be all to all, I'm not taking on the yoke of Christ. I'm just trying to plow through. That is exhausting, and we can do it for a little while, but eventually we will not be at rest and we will have a lot of inner turmoil. So Jesus just sweetly says, "Come to me. Come to me and ask for my yoke, which is easy and light." John 14:27 says about his peace and bringing the Spirit as a helper. He says, this is Jesus saying, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you." He's talking to his disciples. He says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. So let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Do I have in the booklet there the Matthew 6:8, Matthew 6:25, the other verses there? Maybe just jot these down then. I'm not going to go over them in detail, but there are more verses that tell us. Remember at the beginning of the study, we talked a lot about how we want to see the character of God and let his character inform who we are and what we have. So these last three passages here I'm going to give you are just that. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to just give the passages to you to look up later. Matthew 6:8. So one of them just talks about the Father knowing what we need before we ask. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 32. The whole passage is about not being anxious for your needs. That God gives the birds of the air what they need. How will he not also give you everything you need? Romans 8, 32 talks about how that whole chapter is incredible. Romans 8, 32 talking about, if Christ gave us his Son, how much more will he give us all things for our good? So peace within is through, I'm getting tongue-tied here, I'm sorry. As we submit, we will come to rest for our souls. And that is what brings peace within, as we submit to the sovereignty and the mightiness of God. Okay, we're going to move on to, you're going to get into this a little bit more as you usually do in your table time, but peace with others. The gospel gives us the ministry of reconciliation. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But first, Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Now, there's a difference between peacekeeper and peacemaker. You know what I mean? Who here feels like I don't want to indict anyone. I'll indict myself. Man, I love peace. I love everyone to just get along. I did the mom thing. I love, you know, even like my extended family, like family gatherings are hard, right? Because our families are just not perfect. No one's family gatherings if yours is, then just keep it to yourself. No, I'm kidding. What I mean by that is there's stuff, and it's hard, and it makes us feel angst. And I know, for one, I love to keep the peace. And motherhood has just been like a thumb on that for me. That has made a geyser come out, which has been good, because God has shown me that I have treasured peace, a peace that's not peace. I have treasured a peace that's not peace, and that I can't keep all the ducks in a row. I cannot keep everyone from arguing. I cannot keep everyone's heart in check. Like, that's not even my job. And so motherhood for me has been huge in revealing that I treasure peacekeeping. Instead, we're called to be a peacemaker. But I'm just going to read a list of some things that peacekeepers try to do. And don't feel condemned by this, because I just shared my junk. So, you know, it's just what we do to kind of, it's kind of self-protecting. And God says, there's an arrow in that peacekeeping that I want to point to peacemaking, all right? So peacekeepers tend to build barriers between people to prevent them from hurting one another, like all in the name of keeping peace. Peacekeepers tend to avoid conflict at all cost, Just shove it under that rug. Peacekeepers are willing to protect the appearance of peace when internally there's a lot of tension going on. Peacekeepers will not embrace confrontation, but rather look over wrongdoing if it props up the ideal of peace. I'm just going to read a few quotes I got off Pinterest. And these feel like false peace quotes to me. There might be some truth in them, but I think that they're not what the Bible wants us to aim for. It's not the peace that Jesus came to give us, okay? So listen to these. These are just, and then none of them have quotes. So I think it's just someone in their basement on their couch, like making up a quote and putting it on a pretty background. Anyway, none of them had, what I mean to say is none of them had names. Did I say that right? Okay. So these are different quotes that I found when I typed in peace. Anything that costs your peace is too expensive. To find peace, sometimes you have to lose your connection with the people, places, and things that create all the noise in your life. That would be like my whole family. See ya, you know. Let me read that one again. To find peace, sometimes you have to lose your connection with the people, places, and things that create all the noise in your life. Who can do that? Maybe a hermit in the woods. Okay. Another one simply said, protect your peace. Another one, talking about, I suppose, a peaceful woman. She is at a place in her life where peace is her priority and negativity cannot exist. Last one, respect yourself enough to say, I deserve peace, and walk away from people or things that prevent you from attaining it. I mean, these are serious, you know. This is a message that's being sent. This is a list of what peacemakers do. Because what I want us to think about is, how does the gospel shape us into a peacemaker? Because the gospel doesn't say, lose connection with the people, places, and things that create all the noise in your life. The gospel says, press in. And that, take my yoke, because my yoke is easy. But peacemakers are willing to endure conflict for a lasting peace. Now, I want to say, endure conflict. This does not mean abuse, extreme toxic, you know, relationships. This means press into conflict to work through it for a lasting peace, instead of shoving something under the rug. Peacemakers are truth tellers, revealing the light of the gospel to those in darkness, no matter the cost. Peacemakers point others to their need for Jesus, the true peace giver. Peacemakers understand that tension and conflict are necessary. Say it with me. Tension and conflict are necessary, though painful. They're necessary to understanding one another and moving through to lasting peace. And I think that that is a huge one. Last lastly, peacemakers, that God has called us to be peacemakers in his kingdom. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. I think it's in your book. So all this, and in the context it's talking about being redeemed and given new life, all of that is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is the ministry of the gospel. We've been entrusted with the gospel, and we are not called to keep the peace with people. Rather, we are called to be peacemakers as we point them to the peacemaker, and that is Jesus. I've heard it said, and maybe you guys have heard it said, that when talking about courage and fear, that courage is not a lack of fear, but it's moving forward in spite of fearful circumstances. And I would suggest that peace is similar. It's not a lack of conflict, even though that would be the peacekeeping side of it. You want to avoid conflict. Rather, peace is not a lack of conflict, but it's maintaining an abiding trust in Jesus in the midst of the conflict, whether that conflict is inside, whether it's a circumstance, or whether it's with a person. That the verse I read earlier, that he himself is our peace, that can be true no matter what is going on. And that is the only lasting peace. I'm going to real briefly hone in here on hope. And then you're going to head to table time and kind of delve into some of these things a little bit further. But so we've talked about a little bit from scripture passages how hope ties into peace. Hope in scripture means a lot more than wishful thinking. And I know we've heard that, and many of you understand that. Hope that we're talking about is not, gee, I hope this happens, or I'm going to hold out hope that one day, or, you know, even as I looked up things on Pinterest, because I was just curious kind of what is the, you know, it was a lot of just hold on. But there was kind of some ambiguity with it, like what am I holding on to? What is sure and steady? Is it just my idea of what I want? I'm holding on to that. But scripture uses the word hope in a way that conveys the desire of some good, something good, with the expectation of obtaining it. Romans 15:13, like we read already. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. And keep in mind, this is Paul writing in the New Testament. So he's saying the entire Old Testament, it was written for our hope and for our instruction. Every single word of God is for our instruction, for our hope. So he's saying all that was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So true hope is an abiding trust in the promises of God that was shown in the character of Jesus. This kind of hope inspires patience in our circumstances. Let me say that again. This kind of hope inspires patience in our circumstances, because we will recognize that even in painful, confusing, this totally stinks and more situations, we're trusting in promises that far surpass this life, that give us hope beyond our world, beyond ourselves, and a hope that transcends our current circumstances. So where do we find those promises? It's in God's word. And so our ally, like our ally in the fight for hope and joy and peace, is the word of God. John Piper, I love his thoughts here. When he talks about the promises of God and the word, he says, we need the word of God more than we need breakfast. Like, we need it first thing. And I'm not going to get into all the details. I know, like, when you're nursing a baby and they're up at 5 in the morning or whatever, I'm not going to tell you when to have your time in the Word. But his idea here is that, like, it feeds our soul, which is eternal. We need it more than food. Because we wake up in the morning weak. I wake up in the morning weak. I wake up weak in my mind. I wake up weak in my faith. I wake up weak physically. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I mean, Scripture tells us I'm not alone in that. We wake up weak, and so we need the strength of the promises of God every morning, every day, to give us hope beyond ourselves. And I'm going to give you a reference. I think I've mentioned it along the way here. It's in your booklet in the back take-home portion. But the Fighter Verses website, fighterverses.com is what it is. They're called Fighter Verses because you're fighting to believe the promises of God by remembering His Word. And so you go to this website and you can even, you know, I think there's a whole section where it just has all these verses connected to whatever you're struggling with, like very specific things to very broad, like the supremacy of Christ in all things, down to gossip, lying, sexual temptation, anger. And it kind of does the homework for you. Then it has a verse with a promise of God attached to that. Yeah. So I would encourage you to check that out, even if you start with one or two. I think I wrote in the booklet section that that's been critical for me, and I think it's critical for every believer. I know it's not like a homework thing right now. I know it can feel really overwhelming just to even like find a note card in the house when you don't know where like the baby's pacifier is. So just scribble it like on anything you can find. But, you know, waiting for the kids in the pickup line, you know, after school or in the grocery store, like instead of the tabloids, like pull them out of your purse. Like, here's my note cards. Like, just like, you know how like an, is it a rudder on a boat or what is it? Yeah. That like keeps the boat going in the right like direction. I feel like that's the Word of God. Like, you know, you need it just these moments throughout the day. And, you know, there might be a set time that you meet with Him, but just to have something where it's like, you know, I need this like glued to my forehead. Actually, the Israelites did that, but I won't go into a whole lesson on that. Okay. So you're going to get into table time now. And if you're feeling like it's taking your group longer than we have, we'll probably rein it back in at like 10 till. Feel free to skip past some passages or just cater it to what you guys need. But it would be really good if you are able to at least get to the application questions. Maybe if you can't get through all the scripture passages, maybe do two instead of all three or four. I think that's all I wanted to say on that. So go ahead and dig in. And I think there's a facilitator at each table, and I might kind of bop around and join your group too. So there you go, ladies. The booklets are in the center of your table. I know there's a lot that you probably weren't able to cover every month. I know I've told you guys this before. It's so hard for me to narrow it all down. So I'm not trying to feed you with a fire hose. But my hope is that over the next several weeks, you're able to just find a few moments to reflect on some of this. If it did feel kind of like a lot this morning, and to look up some of those passages, if you have a few moments. And then in that optional homework section, I think I put an encouragement to read Psalm 104, and it just really, such a display of the grandeur of God, which is good for me to read back over and remember just how mind-blowing it is that we have access with that God. Anyway, so thank you for this morning, and we're going to close in prayer, and then right at 11, let's be sure to get kids up at the nursery. Then our kiddos will be brought up here. Any other announcements that we need to? I think we're good. All right. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you that you hold the heavens and the earth and the universe in your hand. And you also hold my heart in your hand. Thank you for these women. Thank you for this community. We thank you for the women who weren't able to come today. We pray that you would encourage their hearts with your word and by your spirit. God, thank you so much that you have revealed to us who you are in your word. Help us to take hold of you and to take hold of the peace you have offered and to take hold of the hope of your promises in your word. We need you. We cannot do that on our own. Thank you that you sent a helper, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for these sisters. Meet them wherever they are, God. I know you will. In your name we pray. Amen.